I want to look at the 13th chapter of Joshua in the first verse. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Well, that's a message in itself right there. If I sat down right now, you'd have a good message. There remaineth yet much land to be possessed. I've been preaching the last two Sundays here on spiritual perspective and vision. I'm still on the same thing. Maybe you think sometimes that preacher gets on something and never gets off of it. Well, I consider this important enough to put in quite a little time on. Is the vision and the perspective that we have of God, of our relationship with God, of a Christian life, what a Christian life is, how to live it, how to live victoriously and triumphantly. We need vision. The Bible said where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, it's just that important, folks. So I feel like it's important enough to put in quite a little time on, even if you think I get on something and never get off of it. So I'm right back in the same groove this morning. And God said to Joshua, you're old and well stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now how do you see this? Amen. What does your vision take in? Are you conscious of the fact that there's yet very much land to be possessed? That there is yet higher heights and deeper depths and longer lengths and broader breadths in the things of God and in our experiences with God and our relationship with God than any of us have ever reached yet? All that we haven't reached yet remains to be possessed. Amen. God said it was much. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, our perspective of these things has a lot to do with how much effort we put forth to attain them. We had the thought last Sunday, God said to Abram, said, after Lot departed from him, he had to get separated and get on his own before God could actually reveal to him what was in store for him. God had told him to get up and leave his home and his kindred and go into a country that he would show him. And it was in God's mind to give him that country, his seed after him, that they would inherit that land. God said, you go and I'll show you when you get there. Now Abraham started out without any vision of where he was going or anything, just his faith. That's all he had to go on. But he was moved by faith and he went out by faith. And I guess, I call it at least, everybody doesn't agree with me on this, but I call it that one mistake he made was taking Lot along with him. God had told him to leave his kindred and to leave his home and his people and get out and go. Well, he took Lot along with him. Got over there and problems developed between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, and so they had to separate. Abraham showed how big he was here. Now he kind of told Lot, "Lot, you're going to have to leave, and just whatever you can get, the Lord be with you. I hope things will turn out all right for you, but God brought me here and told me to come here, and this is my land, and you're just going to have to get out on your own." But oh, he showed how big he was. God give us more big men like Abraham, big hearts, generous people. He called Lot in and he said, "Now, Lot, there ought not to be any strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we're brethren." Does your vision take that in? That strife doesn't belong among brethren. Does your vision take that in? Abraham's dead, says we ought not to have any strife here. We're brothers. Now he said, "I'm going to give you your choice." He didn't have to give him anything. The call was to Abraham, not Lot. And Lot was just kind of going along for the ride, so to speak. But Abraham said, "Now, Lot, I'm going to give you your choice. We're going to have to separate. The land won't contain both of us. Now, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You just take your choice." Lot took his choice. Now it said that God said unto Abraham after that Lot was separated from him. Now God hadn't told Abraham he was even in the land that was to be his inheritance, the inheritance of his posterity. But there he was. But after Lot separated from him, God began to deal with him. God began to open up this vision and revelation to him. Let him know where he was after Lot separated from him. Sometimes we have to get loose from all of our connections in order for God to actually give us a good, clear revelation of his will for our lives. People influence us, and especially our own family connections, they influence us. But many times we have to reach a point where we're just disconnected from everybody and everything. Attached to God only, for God to actually begin to open up his revelations to us and to give us a vision of his will for our lives. So after that Lot was separated from him, God said to him, "Now, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from where you are." Well, we discussed that last Sunday. I'm not going to take time with that, but that's very important. Just look from where you are. Don't lie. Don't try to look from the mountaintop when you're down here in the valley. And don't try to look from a higher elevation than where you actually are if you're down here groveling in the self life and the flesh life and things of this material world. Don't try to get a good clear vision from there of God's will for your life. But God said, "Look from where you are now, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." Now Abraham had told Lot, "If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left." But when God began to open up things for him, he got left and right and In front and behind too, all around. He just give him the whole place. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Everything that you see, I'll give you. Folks, God will give you everything you see, but you've got to see it. Our vision has to take it in. Then we can possess it. There's not much incentive to reach out for things that, unless we see them, unless they're real, tangible. God help you and me to have a spiritual vision, that spiritual things are just as tangible and real to us as the material things are. And that the spiritual life is just as real as the physical life is to us. We're not going to get very far with God if we don't have a vision like that. And if spiritual things do not become real to us, we're just not going to get very far with God. The Apostle Paul says that these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, how you and I, myself and my brethren, how we all need to be seeking after and developing a spiritual vision that will make spiritual things just as tangible and as real to us as the things we touch with our hands and see with our eyes and taste with our mouths and hear with our ears. Those things are all real to us. But we need that inner man quickened, that inward man alive, and revealed to our soul. We need to see things to reach out for. Our vision needs to take in victorious, triumphant living and deliverance from everything that will hinder that. Deliverance from ourselves. I say there are many things that the saints need to be saved from besides sin, and the main thing is themselves. We need to be saved from ourselves. We need victory over ourselves, and our faith needs to take that in as a reality in our relationship with God till we will just be able to obtain victory over ourselves. Defeat ourselves. Put ourselves down. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord ever before me. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but here is what it means to me. I have set the Lord ahead of me, before me. The Lord comes before Austis Wilson comes. The Lord's will is ahead of the will of Austis Wilson. And I've just set him ever before me. Whatever comes up or whatever kind of turn life takes, the Lord's ahead of Austis Wilson in those things. Now, that's what that text means to me. And I say it's a big step, but it's an important one. And it's a step to victory. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and verses 17 and 19, he said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How much do we know about the things of God? I don't know how much you know. There's probably some folks in here know more about it than I do. But I'm conscious at times that I've just kind of scratched the surface a little bit. That there's more things that I didn't imagine than there are that I do. The psalmist David said, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Folks, we need our eyes open. We need scales falling from our eyes. We need a vision. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in verses 19 through 21, maybe would pick up the thought there. But he said, after he had brought a number of different faith champions and characters. I gave you the wrong verses there. It's verse 13 and 14. Now, he said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and foreigners in the earth," or pilgrims on the earth. "They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." These folks had a vision. There were promises out there. They didn't receive them, but they saw them, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them by faith. Faith can take in some great things. Joshua said in the first chapter of Joshua, and about the third or fourth verse there, he said, or God said to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." And I said unto Moses, we first have to see it. Then we have to believe it. We have to be persuaded of it. Abraham was a man. The Word of God said that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God had made him an impossible promise as far as natural humanity was concerned. But he said Abraham didn't stagger at that. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and was persuaded. Oh, we need a definite persuasion. When God shows us things, reveals truths to us, we need a definite persuasion in our hearts. We need to embrace that, believe that, and press on to it. There's nothing quite so great an incentive to press forward as to see something to press forward to. And if we are limited in our vision and we think we have it, it's all right here. What I have, that's it. Some folks settle down on that. I've just got it. That's it. But complacency is the originator of, now let me see what I want to say here, the originator of stagnation. When we begin to feel like we have it all and we stop reaching out and our vision becomes clouded and all, we begin to stagnate right there. And stagnation, somebody said, is the next station to damnation. You're on the way down when you get to feeling like I have it all. And nothing for me to gain. Alexander the Great, I'm told, conquered the whole known world at his time and stood on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea and looked out across there and wept because there was no more worlds for him to conquer. But he couldn't conquer himself. I don't know. I listen quite a little bit when I have opportunity to a radio program called Unshackled. And I think it's profitable to me to listen to it. I think it'd be profitable to you to listen to it. To anybody. But the characters in these dramas, it's the lives of real people and it's their real lives. And they're alcoholics, drug addicts, and people enslaved in different ways by different things. But somebody gets the message of salvation and of Jesus Christ across to them. And they receive Jesus Christ. Their testimonies, a lot of them runs just like Brother Lane's. We've heard his. And a lot of these run just like his. And how when they repented and opened their hearts and invited Jesus into their hearts, they were unshackled from these things. The power of them was broken and they didn't want any more drugs and they didn't want any more alcohol. And I've heard dozens and dozens and more than that maybe testify how when God saved them they had been bound by the tobacco habit for years and years and just grew up with it. But he delivered them from all of that when he saved them. Well, they got a vision in their souls that salvation and the power of Christ provides all of this, takes us all in. And when they get Christ, that's the provision for everything and breaks all the shackles off of them and delivers them from everything. And folks, that's the kind of vision we need of Christ and of Christ's work and of His salvation. When He comes into our hearts, He just breaks all the shackles. He just delivers from every vile and unclean and filthy habit that enslaves people and sets people free from all of these things and sets them going for Him. Folks, we need a vision in our souls that doesn't tie us down to any particular limitations. I say that faith just has one end. Faith just has one standard, and that's the minimum standard. From there on, the sky's the limit. We can just keep going and going and the powers that the enemy has imposed upon us will just be broken and our souls unshackled and set free and we can go on and live for God honorably and to His glory. But we need a vision of it. We need a vision of what a good, clear, clean cut, holy, spiritual life is. And that it eliminates all of these things out of that life. And gives people victory over all of these things. And delivers them from those things. And it delivers us from anger. And from resentment. And from bitterness. Just breaks all the shackles off of the soul. When we just get a good hold on God and we just need a vision of what God can do for the soul. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, I've run out of time, and so I'm going to break off here. And I probably won't be speaking to you anymore for about 3 weeks. But let's pray for the camp meeting. Let's pray for us. Let's pray for our souls, for our needs between us and God, and for victory in our lives, living victorious lives.